Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Good morning. I tell you, it's a nice, bright, sunshiny day. We don't have the liquid sunshine going on today, but a little bit cooler, but feeling a little bit more like January, which is kind of a good thing for me. I'm wondering if we had decided to kind of skip out on winter for a while, and everybody said, just hang on. It'll change. It'll come right on back around. So I agree wholeheartedly. If you have your Bible this morning, go ahead and turn with me, if you would, to the book of 1 Corinthians in chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. A couple weeks ago, you know, one of the things that that we started talking about was loving our church. And we started talking about how we can be intentional in loving our church. What does that mean? And last week, you know, we kind of covered the part about the fact that we're a community, that we are a body of believers that the Lord has brought together. This is a way that we can love our church. We're family. We talk about that. We even use those innuendos as we speak with each other. We call each other brother. We call each other sister. There are so many things that we do when it comes down to that make reference to the family and being a part of the family of God. I trust and pray that you are glad to be a part of your family, and that you love the family. And this week, one of the things that we want to talk about is serving. You know, serving as a way to love our church, serving as a way to love our community. And now when I say community, I'm not talking just about our community of believers, but I'm also talking about the community in which we live. You know, I guess if I was to ask you a question, I titled this morning's message, Superheroes and Christmas Presents. And you might ask yourself, well, what do superheroes and Christmas presents have to do with the church? And I hope that by the end of this, you will have an opportunity to understand exactly what superheroes and Christmas presents actually have in common. Now, you know, when you think about superheroes, did you have a favorite superhero? Did anybody have a favorite superhero? I mean, superheroes were pretty big, right? Who? Lone Ranger, okay? Who else? Just the Lone Ranger. Nobody watched anything else. Batman. Yeah. And I want you to kind of think of these superheroes for just a minute, and you're going to understand why. Mine was Superman. Y'all know Superman, right? Okay. I loved Superman. You know why? Because I can still remember, you know, on Saturday morning, faster than a speeding bullet, more powerful than a locomotive, able to leap tall buildings in a single bound. Look up in the sky. It's a bird. It's a plane. It's Superman. And then you'd hear the theme song going, yes, it's Superman. Strange visitor from another planet who came to Earth with powers and abilities far beyond those of mortal men. Superman, who can change the course of mighty rivers, bend steel with his bare hands, and who, disguised as Clark Kent, a mild-mannered reporter for a great metropolitan newspaper, fights the never-ending battle for truth, justice, and the American way. And all God's Superman fans said,
amen.
You've heard that before, right? Superman was, I mean, the hair would stand up on the back of my neck. You'd see him flying across, not with the graphics that you have today. But man, I was a Superman fan. I mean, Superman was just the man in my book. Now, a lot of times you can sit back and you say, well, all this superhero stuff, well, that's just kid stuff. Well, let me just give you another thought. It is a multi-million-dollar annual business. There is something that fascinates each and every one of us about superheroes. So, yeah, I looked up the definition of superhero in Merriam-Webster's dictionary, and this is what it says. It says, a fictional hero having extraordinary or superhuman powers. An exceptionally skillful and successful person. Now, I'm not one to necessarily argue with Merriam-Webster or how Merriam-Webster kind of completes this, but I think that doesn't just capture it all. I mean, it's right. What Merriam-Webster says is accurate, but I don't think it's complete. See, superheroes are more than just extraordinary, super-powered, exceptionally skilled people. That's just kind of half of it. See, superheroes are superheroes because they do something in particular. And what makes them a superhero is that they're able to utilize their ability within a specific context to help in a specific way. If you think about, you know, what they were charged with, you know, when you think about it, you know, and you don't have to answer these questions, but who was the superhero of Metropolis? Yeah, who was the superhero of Gotham? Yeah, who was the superhero of New York? Now, New York evidently needed a lot more help than others because it had plenty of our superheroes that we see, you know, along the way. But when you begin to think about that, you see, I don't care what the superpower that each of them had, which was generally something different, you know, I don't care whether it was flying, whether it was fighting, whether it was Spider-Man shooting his webs or running, or whether it was super strength or whatever it is. Yeah, if these superheroes are not using their power in a specific context to help out in a specific way, then basically all they are is a dude sitting on a couch. Think about my hero for a minute, Clark Kent. Most people didn't know he was Superman, did they? You remember, he was the mild-mannered news reporter. Yeah, he was the guy who was just going about his day as an ordinary person until the context arose that he needed to be, you know, Superman. Then he would, you know, wisp off into the phone booth and he would be changed and he would come out and he would utilize those strengths within that context to make all the difference in the world in fighting crime or for truth and justice and the American way. When something big wasn't going on, Clark Kent was just an average dude, wasn't he? So there are some things I want us to think about today. You see, a superhero is somebody who utilizes those abilities in a specific context. And I think part of loving our church is being the superhero that God made you to be. And I said you. I mean each and every one of us. Part of loving our church is us being the superhero with the powers that God has instilled within us, given within the context of this particular body. And you'll understand a little bit more what I'm talking about here in just a moment. You know, see, God made you to be a superhero. He's given you some superpowers, and it's part of being a part of a superpower team that makes these things work as well, which, again, we're going to talk about. And here we have a community that is in need of what you have. So you have superpower. Well, if you were to, in a Christian context, and you're sitting there saying, I can't fly, I can't bend steel, I don't have super strength, I don't have all these things going for me. So, well, what am I? You know, what is my, you know, supernatural ability that God has given me? Well, let me tell you what it is. And now I'm going to bring it churchy for you. It's called a spiritual gift or spiritual gifts. And each and every one of us who know the Lord as our Savior have been given a particular type of a spiritual gift that God expressly has placed us in a context called Central Baptist Church and called Oak Ridge, North Carolina, for us to use for His honor and for His glory. Look with me, if you would, at 1 Corinthians chapter 12, beginning with verse 4. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, beginning with verse 4. It says, there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. There are diversities of activities, but it is the same God who works in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. Now, I want you to ponder that for just a minute. You know, when we begin to look at that, you know, Paul starts off by telling us, or by talking about the fact that we're going to have spiritual gifts. And then he goes on and elaborates on that. And I want us to kind of focus there on verse 6 for a minute, because God, it says, He works all things in all people, meaning that it is God who empowers the gifts of His followers. Now, you know, when we begin to think about that, sometimes, you know, people have done spiritual gifts inventories. You've heard people talk about it. But some of the spiritual gifts, and this is obviously not an exhaustive list, are things like exhortation. Things like giving, things like leadership and mercy and service and teaching and administration. and discernment and faith and the gift of helps, the gift of knowledge, the gift of wisdom. There are a pile of them. But there are two basic and really important things that we need to understand about spiritual gifts. And here's what they are. The first thing is this. God is the one who picked your spiritual gift. You didn't apply for it. You didn't rally for it. You didn't lobby for it. You didn't request it. You didn't petition any of these things. It was God in His infinite wisdom. It was God in His love and in His power who knew exactly which gift that you needed and which gift was basically suited for you. Now, I said gift. Yeah, that could be also called gifts, more than one. Some people have more than one gift. You know some of those extremely talented people who can do so many different things. I'm not one of them, but you know people like that. But here's the thing we all must know is that every one of us have at least one, and you didn't pick it. You ever notice that I've known some people in my life that for some odd reason, yeah, they wanted somebody else's spiritual gift. They were jealous of what somebody else had going for them. They were jealous of what they could do. Folks, we got to stop being jealous of other people's spiritual gifts and start becoming the person God created us to be. He looked at Roy and said, here's the gift I'm going to give you. I'm going to give you the gift of preaching. I'm going to give you the gift of being able to stand up in front of people, which, by the way, I've said as part of my testimony before, I couldn't do that when I was in high school. I would break out in a sweat. I know y'all are sitting there going, really? I mean, I would get up and be like, and I could just feel the sweat start to run down my body. But God used a teacher. Oh, a teacher is a spiritual gift? Absolutely. Used a teacher in my life to hone those spiritual gifts. And folks, the Word tells us iron sharpens iron. We need each other. So your spiritual gift or gifts, it could be more than one, was not something that you picked. It's not something that you chose. Stop being jealous about somebody else's gift when we need to be spending time developing the spiritual gift or gifts that God has given each and every one of us. See, God blessed you and He entrusted you with this specific set of skills. You see how the superhero thing's playing into it? Yeah, the really cool things is that Batman didn't have the same superpowers that Superman did he? Yeah, the Wonder Twins had powers that Batman nor Superman had. That's going to play into our message here in just a little bit as well. But what we need to do is we need to play to the strength, the gift that God has given us, and He has blessed us. Not only has He blessed us, He's entrusted us with a specific ability to make a difference in our community called the church, in our community called Oak Ridge, and all around the world. You feeling pretty special? I certainly hope so. The thing that we need to understand is spiritual gift. God's done that. The second thing you need to understand is that it is a spirit-empowered gift. There is a difference. See, when you hear and you heard just a few moments ago some of the things I listed that we call spiritual gifts based on what the Word of God has said, some of you may be sitting back thinking, well, you know, I had a teacher that was an atheist, but that was one of the best teachers I ever had in my life. And this teacher was just so good at what they did, but yet that didn't have anything to do, you know, with God, because they would tell you right up front that they didn't want to have anything to do with God Almighty. See, the thing to realize is that there are a lot of really good teachers out there. Some that are amazing and some that are incredible, but there is between great teaching and teaching that is empowered by the Spirit. See, one is exhibiting their natural ability, which, by the way, is also God-given. But one is exhibiting a natural ability, and the other is exhibiting an ability to infuse the power of God to speak into the lives of the people that they come in contact with. And that goes far beyond just the passing along of information. and the passing along of inspiration. You know, I know that there are teachers, and I look around this room, and I know that there are teachers there, and I have seen you in action in one way, shape, form, or fashion. And you know what the really cool part is? I know that's your spiritual gift. I know that that's Madeline's spiritual gift. I have watched you make a difference in the lives of people on an educational level, whether it's academics or whether it was on a spiritual level. It is you exercising what it is that God has given you, and it makes it a supernatural gift. Now let me kind of put that into a context that's easy to understand. I was a big George Foreman fan, not the grill, although I might have looked like it. Y'all know what George Foreman's known for besides the grill, right? He's a boxer. Now, I watched George Foreman, when I was growing up. So when you think about George Foreman, and even in his retirement, if George Foreman throws a punch, it's going to be a pretty powerful punch, isn't it? Nobody would want to get hit with that ham hock that George Foreman has called a fist. So even in his retirement, that's going to be a pretty powerful punch. And it would be even more powerful back when he was in his prime. But that's his natural talent. That's just a natural talent that God has given him. So now let's make a comparison. George Foreman has thrown a punch, and it hurts. Now Superman throws a punch. Well, what's the difference? The difference is there's something supernatural going on in that. How many of y'all saw that? Superman would like throw somebody like four city blocks down the road. He was just, and the reason why was, see, George Foreman couldn't do that. Only Superman could. And only reason Superman could, it was simply because he was empowered by something that was supernatural. Are you catching the parallel here? When it comes to your spiritual gift, God has empowered you with something supernatural. You know, like George Foreman's punch, your punch can be even greater than what his is when empowered by God, operating in the sphere and the realm of which he's placed us to become a superhero for the kingdom. See, you've been given an amazing ability to be used by God. And man, that's incredibly exciting. You know, I look out here and it's kind of like a motivational speaker. I see untapped potential in all of you. Yeah, I see that. You know, I really do. And you know, that is something that should excite you. That is something that excites me, because I look at it from the perspective of the community of God called the church. And I look and I see that God has sent you here for a specific reason. Now keep that in the back of your mind for just a moment. I want you to think about that. So a lot of times what people will say are, well, what are my gifts? You know, I don't exactly know what they are. Well, let me give you an idea of a way that, if you're not real sure, obviously there are some spiritual gifts inventories that we can kind of work with you on. It's a questionnaire type thing. But here's another fairly easy way. Experiment in serving. Now, when I say experiment and serve, I mean get involved in the church somewhere. If you're not involved in the church somewhere, shame on you. Get involved. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean that it has to be, an assigned type thing. But how are you involved along the way in the church? How are you loving the church? How are you exercising your talent, God-given talent and ability, to make a difference within the community? And I say experiment. If there's something that you see, listen, talk to that ministry leader and say, look, you know what? I'm not exactly sure where I need to be, but this is something that seems to me like it might be of some interest. Take some time. Spend a month or two doing that. And then leader and evaluate it. And listen, be honest. Leaders, let me tell you something. You need to be honest as well. When that person comes back to you and says, well, I've been here for 2 months. What do you think? The answer might be, I think we need to find you another place. Not everybody is created for it. Listen, don't put me in the children's department. I love them. I adore them. I adore handing them off to those who put up with them for class. That's not my gift. You know, I could snatch up a trumpet and say, Jimmy, let me try this for 2 months. And I know what Jimmy's going to tell me. Pick something else. This is not your ability. Why do I say that? Listen, I'm not downing myself. I just know what I, you know, what God has called me to do. I know what my area of strength and my area of ability and my spiritual gifts are. And those things ain't it. So why should I try to play to my weakness? See, a lot of times society will do that, won't it? It'll sit there and say, well, you need to just get better in this. Listen, why don't we find places where we're good at and spend our time there doing things that turn our crank and doing things that fulfill us? See, here's the big thing. The big thing is, where do you see results when you're serving? Specifically, where do you see results that impact people for the cause of Christ? Whether it's leading someone to Him, whether it's discipling somebody, whether it's being a part of their life and seeing them grow to know Jesus better. See, you are gifted in a very specific way. And as you think about that, you know, you got to find, where is my place based on my gifts and abilities? So one of the ways is experiment. We're okay with that, aren't we, David? We're perfectly fine with experimenting with it. Just tell that leader, say, I'm searching for my gift. This might or might not be it, but be honest with me. The second thing that you can do is you can ask others, specifically people that you've spent time with, people who you trust their opinion, whom you know and love, and whom you've seen God use in the church and within your community, and you can ask them some specific questions like, you know, when you hear of different spiritual gifts, which one or ones come to mind when you think about me? You know, because how many times have you sat back, and I know teachers do this well, you have seen people excel in different areas, haven't you? And you sat back in your mind and you said, boy, that person will be a real good whatever. That person is phenomenal with this. You know, and you try to kind of help them to play toward where those strengths are. So you know, when you ask that question, when you hear that, spiritual gifts and some of the things, what comes to mind when you think about me? How about, what am I doing when you see Jesus in me, or when you see Jesus coming out of me? Where do you see me reflect Jesus? Now, that's why it's got to be somebody that you know and love and trust that you're asking those questions to, because these are things that they'll see. Yeah. How is it that I make my community better? How is it that I make my church better, my family better? How is it that I make my town better? What is it that you see? No one will know better than the people whom you are in community with and the people whom you serve with. And finally, the third thing is, check your energy level. Okay? See, as you try these different opportunities, yeah, you have to ask yourself, how am I feeling about this? Are you tired? Are you dreading doing the opportunity again? Are you sitting there going, oh, geez, Sunday's coming. I wish I'd have never said, let me be a part of this. You know, listen, if that's it, it's better for you to get out. It's better for you to extend and find where it is. It's better for you. It's better for everybody around you to do that. If you're sitting there dreading what it is that you're doing. See, and by the way, you got to keep this in mind, because here's a little caveat for that. It might be the right gift in the wrong context. Sometimes that happens. You just got to find that right place. See, if you're, but if you get up and, boy, you're ready to go, and you can't wait for Sunday, you can't wait for those opportunities, you're looking forward to it, you're feeling the passion, that's a big word, you're feeling the passion to be able to do what it is you do, then it is more than likely something that complements your gifting. Do you think I got up this morning and went, I have to preach? I still, after almost 30 years, have trouble sleeping on Saturday night because I get to preach on Sunday. After almost 30 years. And some people would go, well, it seems like it should just be automatic for you. Now, I still get thrilled to have that opportunity to be able to do that. Whatever your gift or your gifts are, they are supernatural. See, they are given to you by God. They're something that you are empowered by the Spirit of God to do. You know, not for your own gain. You getting this? Here's a part where people have a lot of trouble. You're given your spiritual gifts not for your own gain, but for the sake of other people. That's why you are given what you're given. You have a superpower in the church. But here's the cool part, you're not alone. I remember growing up, one of the things that kind of came along after all the individual superheroes was this thing called the Super Friends. Do y'all remember the Super Friends? Nobody. Oh, two. Thank you, Dina, Mike. Yeah, Hall of Justice, that's it. The Hall of Justice. Or in a more modern context, which I'll use this in the next service, was a movie called The Avengers. Y'all remember that? Okay, here's the thing. All of those are a combination of the superheroes coming together to utilize their powers at where, Mike? That they meet at the halls of justice. And they bring their individual gifts that are completely different together to make a difference in the context of their community, don't they? Okay? See, the Avengers were a team. They were an assembly, as it were. They were a group. They couldn't meet the specific needs of the earth simply by themselves. They needed one another. Are you following where I'm going? Has the spiritual context kind of kicked in yet? You see, I might be Superman, but I certainly ain't Wonder Woman. I might be Superman, but I'm not the Wonder Twins or Batman or Robin. Batman couldn't bend a steel bar, could he? But when he needed a bar bent, who did he call on? Superman! Mike's going, or Thor, or several others. But there was somebody there who could meet that need. Here's the cool part, y'all. That's the church. We have everything that we need to see God's will accomplished right here. And you hold the key to it. See, this passage, I want us to look at a passage that's complementary to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Don't turn there because I'm supposed to be done right now. But Romans chapter 12 and verse 4 says this. Romans 12, 4 says this. 4 and following. It says, there are diversities of the gifts, but the same Spirit. That's the one I looked at before. Let me get the right passage. In Romans chapter 12, verse 3, it says, for though I say, through the grace given to me to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, as God has dealt with each one a measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function, so we, being many, are one body in Christ and individually members of one another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. Or ministry, let us use it in our ministering. He who teaches in teaching, he who exhorts in exhortation, he who gives with liberty, he who leads with diligence, he who shows mercy with cheerfulness, let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be kindly affectionate one to another with brotherly love. In honor, giving preference to one another. We are a team. You know what it says? If this is where your strength is, use it. What is your gift? What is it that God has empowered you to be able to do? What is your superpower? See, you have a team. That team is called the church. Yeah, in Romans 12, that 4 through 5 clarifies that we purposely and specifically, we're perfectly and specifically designed in different ways to be able to meet the needs that God has. So your gifts aren't yours. Do you get that? Your gifts aren't yours. They're mine. And this body's. Guess what else? My gifts aren't mine. They're yours. That's what God meant. That's what He intended it to be. You know, it's so interesting when we look at these things and you think about what the gifts are. And I have to hurry, but this superpower team has a community. Central Baptist Church has a community. It has a town that needs you. It didn't say just wanted you. Needs you. your specific ability. This church needs you. Your neighbors need you. Not because they need you, but because they need God. And God in His wisdom had a plan, and He decided that He would empower you, that He would empower us to serve one another and the world that's around us. Think about it. We have children's ministries that need people to model Jesus to them. We have student ministries that need students that need people to pray for them and help be examples to them on how a godly life should be lived. We have young adults that need mentoring, and we need to be able to come together and to unify and exercise our gifts in the body. See, the community has folks that need the gift that God gave you, and that action has to be put in motion. You can't just sit on it. Remember what I said? Clark Kent was just a dude sitting on a couch until he needed to exercise his ability in a context that God had aligned for him. And that's the same thing with you and I. It needs to be put in action. Can you imagine? I want you to imagine with me just for a little bit. Can you imagine what a church would be like if everybody in it was just flowing in their spiritual gifts? Could you imagine what that would be like? That's what we're shooting for. That's what 2020 holds for us. For all of us to be exercising our abilities. So I want to kind of wind things down with this. You know, what do superheroes and Christmas presents have to do with the church? Remember, that's what I kind of opened with. You see, what is it? Who doesn't like opening Christmas presents at Christmas? I mean, think about it. Who does not like opening Christmas presents at Christmas? I'll tell you who. Help me out.
You're a mean one.
The Grinch doesn't like opening Christmas presents at Christmas. Well, you know, maybe what we need to do is create a Grinch support group at the church. You know, for those who don't like opening Christmas packages. Yeah, but all of us understand. We remember what it was like. We come running down the steps or down the hall at Christmas, and we went in and we saw this big package had our name on it. And what did we do? Did we go, that's good, I'm going back to bed? No, man, you tore into it. You got into it because it was something that was given to you that needed to be played with or used or opened. Can you imagine what it was like? You didn't just leave the Christmas present sitting there. You jumped in it. God has given each and every one of us a gift or a set of gifts to be used in a supernatural way, much like that Christmas present that you had that you opened up last month. Something for you. You know, if you don't and didn't have that good experience, there would just be something wrong with that, wouldn't it? Yeah, maybe the support group that we would need to start here would be the helping people who ignored their Christmas presents to open them and experience the excitement of childhood group. Maybe that's the one we need. God has given you these gifts. So what do superheroes and Christmas presents have to do with the church? If you're a follower of Jesus who is not utilizing your spiritual gift that God has given you for the betterment of the church and for the betterment of the community, for the betterment of the people that are around you, then you're like a Christmas present that's been ignored and unopened. You're just sitting there. You're waking up to the gift that God has given you, and you're shrugging your shoulders and you're going, whatever. So here's my final question. Why did God give you, personal, why did God give you to our church, Central Baptist Church? Most of the time we ask, what can we get out of the church? That's a wrong question. Why did God give this community the gift of you? Think about it for a minute. Was it because of your teaching? Was it because of your leadership? Was it because of your encouragement? Was it because of your discernment? Was it because of your giving? What was it? Whatever it was that makes you the superpowered you is why God brought you here. Why did God give us the gift of you? I'm curious. Don't be that unopened gift. Discover God has given you. Apply it and put it to work. And I can promise you this. God will do incredible things in our sight. And here's the fun part. I'm going to ask our musicians, go ahead and take your places. Because here's the fun part. We need you. Some of you are sitting there going, well, you don't need me. I'm too whatever. I'm too old. I'm too backwards. I'm too this, too that, too this. No. God sent you to this church in this context. Remember our superhero exercising their supernatural abilities in a given context. And God brought you to us for a reason. And I want to know what it is. You know why? Because I can't wait until we start to pull things together right here and God do some exciting, incredible things starting right now. What is your gift? If you know your gift, I'm asking you, are you exercising it within the body? If you don't know what it is, let us help you find it. If you don't know where to plug in and where to be a part, I encourage you, listen, 2020, no spectators. Nobody sitting around. Everybody plugged into some place. Don't care what it is. You can't give me an excuse that says, well, I don't fit in. No. You cannot do it. You are a superhero. And we need what you got. Right down at the Hall of Justice, right, Mike? Because what you got, I can't do. What I got, you can't do. We need each other. Plain and simple. Get plugged into a Sunday school class. Get plugged into a D group. Next Sunday morning, if you're not part of Sunday school, Dave Smith has a D group that's going to start up. It's a discipleship group. I promise you, you won't be disappointed with what you'll do. You'll read one chapter a day for 5 days during the week, and you will come together and you will discuss that. Starts next Sunday. You want to be a part of that? Let me know. Let Dave know. That's Dave. Wave, Dave. Wave, Dave. There you go. Talk to Dave. By the way, he's going to have a men's group. You know, we're going to look for a women's group. So, you know, men, yeah, we need all the help we can get. You won't talk around your women, so that's a men's group. We're looking to have other groups that are starting. There's so many opportunities. Plug into one of them. Let me ask you, do you know Jesus? I'm going to ask you to stand right where you are. Have you had that time in your life when you have given Him your heart and you said, yes, Lord, I'm a sinner. I need a Savior. Listen, you've got to start that relationship with Him. It's all about relationship. Do you have a relationship with Him? If not, I beg you today, let's talk about it and make it right. Maybe you're here today and you have been sitting around. You've been sitting on the bench. It is time to get in the game. And listen, do I want to make you feel guilty? Absolutely, because we need you. We need what it is God's gifted you with. We need your exhortation. We need your encouragement. We need your teaching. We need your administration. We need all these things. Listen, I got stuff I could put administrators to work for on right now. I got a pile of stuff. I am not good at pulling it together. That's why Tony organizes the Cuba mission trip. Every I's dotted, every T's crossed. All I do is get on a plane and do what he tells me to do. Because that's his gift. It's not mine. But you know what? When it comes time to preach a revival, guess who Tony calls on? And you know what the cool part is? It's like, hey, it's time for Cuba. And Tony goes, ooh, pick me. And I'm like, ooh, 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 ooh. And then when they say, hey, it's time for somebody to preach, Tony goes, pick him. And I'm like, ooh, 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 ooh. Listen, that's us functioning in our gifts in a supernatural way to see God move. The community of God and Christmas presents are much alike. Have you opened yours? Are you utilizing it? Today is the day. If you don't know what it is, today is the day to start your progress towards it. We'll help you. Because, man, I'll tell you one thing. It just makes me giggle to think about what this church will look like when all of us, not some, all of us plug in. You are important and you are here for a reason. And you are a superhero. What do you need to do? What decisions do you need to make today? You do them now as we sing. I'll be here and the altar's always here. Brother Dave, lead us in worship.